good job here, and I want to thank you all for making him welcome and taking him and chauffeuring him and getting him around and getting him to church, mainly get him here and get him back home. So thank each and every one of you for doing that, and God bless you for your effort. We appreciate that. Also, you know, sometimes when you, I started on this series, so when I went to Brother Richard's Sunday, I said, well, I'll just kind of hit on it and just see, you know, how it goes, because you don't hear a lot of preaching just on the Son of Man. Now they'll hit it in sermons, but just to go ahead and preach who he is. Well, after the service was over, I kind of put part one and part two together from last couple of Sundays ago. And one brother said, you know what? He said, I've been in the message forever, how much longer he'd been in, long he'd been in the message. And he said, I never understood the dispensational change of the Son of God, Son of Man, and who the Son of Man was back in, you know, 2000 years ago. And he said, I really appreciate it. So if I went for one person, that's all we're looking for. We're looking for the last one, right? We ain't looking for the last 12. We're looking for the last one, all right? Or the last 100. We're looking for the last one. And we want that last one to grow up in God. We want somebody, you know, when somebody comes to you and said, I never saw that, now I see it. Well, see, that's a revelation. And that'll stick with him forever. That will actually help him put things together maybe that he had a mystery about before. Because I thought all the mystery is supposed to be revealed in the end time. And as we read here, that we're going to read that the Son of Man is to be revealed, not to just be here, but to be revealed. Who he is, what's he doing here, and what's he's taking us home. So John 1, let's read. Before that, let's bow our heads. The Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning that you give us. Lord, this is truly a resurrection. That we honor the resurrection, the empty tomb, Lord. It may be over there in Israel, but Lord, you came out of that empty tomb and then you came into a heart of people. Yes. And as Brother Bob was talking about, that throne now is in our hearts. It's not in a place sitting somewhere. It's in the throne room of our heart. And Lord, today I pray that you will speak to us through that throne room, Lord. Yes. Not just be intellect or intelligence, Lord, but let it be, Lord, a revelation. Let it be the knowledge of God that takes over and gives us, Lord, complete revelation of what's going on, because we need it in this end time. As Brother Bob was talking about, the Daniel 70 weeks, putting all the pieces together, Lord, because we're going to read a quote from your prophet this afternoon that's going to thrill the people, Lord, and it's going to get us thinking, Lord, a little bit different than we thought before. Father, forgive us of our sins. Bless this day. Continue to bless our pastor and raise him up for your honor and glory, Lord. It was good to see him in the pulpit last weekend, Lord. We pray that you just bless him now and take care of each and every one of us in the furtherment of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right? The same was in the beginning with God. How many people we got running around here? One. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. He was not that light. He was sent to bear witness of the light. Doesn't that sound familiar in the end time? There was another Elijah prophet that came in the end time to introduce, not be him, not be the Son of Man, but be a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. That was the true light. Who? Go back to Jesus, the Son of Man, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So listen, if the world didn't know him then when we go to have the Son of Man revelation in the end time, the world is not going to know who he is. Alright? That's what we're looking at. This whole series is taking the characteristics. If we believe that the Son of Man is supposed to come back and be revealed in the end time, we got to know what his characteristics is. We got to know what he's going to act like when he gets here. Amen? Or we'll miss him, because they thought they knew what he looked like back then and what he was going to act like. But he came exactly the way the scripture said, but not according to their denomination. And that's the same way in the end time. And we'll read that quote a little bit later on, maybe tonight or this afternoon. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The world didn't know him. He came to his own. They didn't know him. He was alone. But look, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's me and you, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. In other words, not born between a man and a woman, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the Word. We want to look again. I'll read Genesis 3:15 in a minute, but look. Stay right there. Where it's, and the Word was made flesh. Everybody got that? Amen. Now, the Son of Man, the Son of Man, was the Word made flesh. He was Word before he was flesh. Now, the difference in me and you is, being a Son of Man, our sons and daughters of God, we come different from that. We came flesh, fallen nature first, and then the Word found us or called our name, and then we became the Word made flesh when we received the new birth. Jesus Christ didn't need a new birth. He was the birth. Amen? So he came with the Word inside of him. We did not. We came lost, contrary. We were contrary to the Word. How in the world are you going to say we come here with something if we were contrary to it? Amen? We had representation. You got to see that. And the representation is in the Word, and the Word is the seed. The only seed that God has is the Word. He has no natural seed. He doesn't need a natural seed. He says, let there be. Amen? So now look. We come to a time, though, and we'll look at it in just a second when we get to the Genesis 1:26, man, but think about this. I was speaking on this in Kentucky, and it kind of the thought came to me. As much as I've read Genesis 1:26, Donnie, something came unfolded Sunday. Because what there was Adam, you know, Eve was supposed to do exactly what Mary did. Eve's commission was, be it unto me according to thy word. Adam spoke it, Eve produced it. So what happened in the second Adam or Christ? What happened? Here comes the angel and says the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. And the Holy Ghost is a man. We know that. That's the man Christ Jesus, God himself. And what'd she say? Be it unto me according to thy word. She had to say that. And then it was placed in her womb. And what did she do? She produced the child. And that's exactly, Brother Branham said, that Eve was supposed to bring the body of Jesus. And that's what he was supposed to do. Just step into it. And then we're all supposed to live eternal. Then whatever Adam would speak, Eve would produce it. And we'd be there. That would be the sons and daughters of God, right? You say, oh, how's that going to be in the end time? Well, listen. Brother Brown said, God's going to prove that this Eve won't fall. Now, who's the Eve in this hour? That's the bride of Jesus Christ. And how did you come into the body? You had a bride, person, life comes through the body. Someone had to talk to you. A preacher had to preach to you. And he had to preach the Holy Ghost to you. And listen, you might get born again if the preacher don't have the Holy Ghost, but he really needs the Holy Ghost for you to get it, because seed life comes through the body. Amen? So that's where the seed, the Word, comes from. That's why many preachers, if you got to be careful, Brother Brown said, money, women, and popularity. Those are three things that'll mess you up more than anything. Why? Because you are planting a seed into a woman, the bride. But it's spiritual. If you keep it separate, you're okay. But if you live real close to that, be careful. Money, women, and popularity. That's what Brother Ram said. The three things you need to watch out for. Because there's an anointing there. Listen, Eve had an anointing. She was anointed to do a job. She just took that anointing and listened to who? Listened to the beast or listened to Satan before she listens to her husband. Is that what the prophet of God said? She came out from behind Adam. Amen? And that's what happens to me and you. We come out from behind Adam and we get in big trouble. Amen. Stay with this second Adam. Stay with this son of man. Because what was the first Adam? He was the son of God. He wasn't the son of man. Listen, if he would have been the son of man, he could have saved Eve. He could have saved Eve. He would have been a savior. If he would have been the one, the word was made flesh, if he would have been the son of man, he could have saved Eve. But he wasn't. He was the son of God. He was created in Genesis 1:26. Man was put into the 2:7 man. Wasn't a savior. Though he could have complete control, he wasn't a savior. He wasn't a healer. He had not, did not have those attributes. The only attribute he had was, is to control the world. Okay? But now see, by the power of you and, me receiving the new birth. Amen. See, he didn't receive a new birth.
That's right.
The first Adam. The second Adam didn't receive a new birth. He was the new birth. But all the sons and daughters that were born after that had to receive a new birth, which gave us power as the son of man, because Romans 8 says what? We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, okay? So this is where we're going to, and I'll read you a quote this afternoon, and I'll just kind of quote it, but I'll read it, and it's in there, where Brother Branham says, this son of man revelation will come in a different way. The son of man revelation will come in a different way. That's why you have to separate it. That's why you have to keep it separate. You say, oh, it's the same person. Yes, it's the same person. But look, the same person went into Martin Luther, and he sat in a pub, drank a beer and smoked a pipe and talked about God and got people born again under justification. Same Holy Ghost. But me and you can't do that. Why? God has moved on. God has moved on to a higher revelation, and we'll read that. They got partial revelation in the church ages. That's why this is important. Who is this son of man? That's why Jesus asked that question. Who do men say that I, the son of man, am? And they told him the revelation of the son of God. So he said, okay, I'll build my church on that. We'll talk about it in a minute. So let's go to Genesis 3:15. Because we know what happened. Remember, the fall happened. All right? And it messed everything up. It messed us up. It didn't mess God up. It messed us up. It made it to where his attribute could be displayed. He could be a savior. He could be a healer. He could be a redeemer and all these different things. And then God, after the fall, says what? I will put enmity. I will. Not Adam anymore. I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. Now, well, that's natural seed because, look, natural seed had been planted. Everybody got that? When he spoke this, natural seed had come into view. Eve was already right here pregnant with Adam and the beast. Right? So now I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed, serpent seed, and her seed, natural seed, because she's going to receive a natural seed. She didn't receive the seed she was supposed to receive. When you come down here to Mary, she received the seed she's supposed to receive. Without the instrumentality of a man, it was the Holy Ghost. Amen. That overshadowed her. And in her will be Jesus Christ. The Son of Man. Amen. Everybody all right? Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity. I'm going to do it. There will be no more covenants. You will, I will. Or you don't, you do. I'm just going to do it. Abraham, I'm going to save you. Abraham, I'm going to put you in a land. I will, I will, I will. Look in Genesis about 14, 15, 16. I will, I will. And it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. All right, let's go now. So that's Genesis 3:15. That is something coming through a woman to flesh. And God's going to use that. That's a promise of the Son of Man. Woman is going to receive a seed with no instrumentality of man. She's going to say, a revelation, be it unto me according to thy word. Or, let's take an updated revelation. Brother Branham, that ain't nothing but the truth. That's little Hattie Wright. Same thing. God came down and said, okay, whatever you want. Mary was told she's going to have a child. How can I have a child knowing no man? But when Gabriel explained it to her, she said, okay, be it unto me according to thy word. Or, Gabriel, that ain't nothing but the truth. Amen. So we see that now in the end time, and that's what you and I are going to have to work with. We work in that same realm. Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Lord, let it be me. I'll do it. That ain't nothing but the truth. Preacher, that ain't nothing but the truth. Try that sometime. But it comes to a woman. But remember, the word was made flesh. The word was spoke back in eternity, right? John 1:1 was not written 2,000 years ago. It was all written before the foundation of the world. So that word was made flesh through a woman. Because through a woman came the fall. Amen? Okay? But not by sex. By spoken word. Because the spoken word is the original seed. Alright? Deuteronomy 18:15. Proving again that God's going to come in flesh. Alright? God's going to come in flesh. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee. Now, listen. What is the Son of Man? You say, okay, it's Jesus in it. No. What does Son of Man mean? Prophet. Just remember, Son of Man means prophet. Prophesy. Son of Man. We'll read it in Ezekiel this afternoon. Ezekiel, Son of Man, prophesy. Tell Israel. What? Well, that's kind of what Jesus did, didn't he? He came down here and he prophesied. He told us all the things that was going to happen and people were going to kill him, and then he was going to come back in 3 days and all these things, and he was not a prophet, he was the prophet. Moses was a prophet. The Lord Jesus was the prophet. So he was the Son of Man because he was born not of a man. All right? The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, look, like unto me. So now what was Moses? Moses was flesh. Moses was a flesh man. A prophet. So that's what he's prophesying, that there's going to come one just like him, a prophet, that's capital P in the Bible, if you see that prophet there. Like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. So there's another flesh man. So now we're going to jump several thousand years to Matthew 16:13, and that flesh man is standing on earth. He's been on earth for about 30 odd years at this moment. And Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked the disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but whom do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God, not Son of Man. And Jesus answered and said unto him, listen, if they would have known who that man was, they would have been there during the whole time. Remember, they scattered the night of the crucifixion, or the day of the crucifixion. There wasn't nobody around him. Peter denied him 3 times. They were scared to death. To not even be associated with Jesus. They've been with him for 3.5 years, and all of a sudden they're like, we don't know that guy. We're going to hide in the bushes and see what's going on. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So it's not a carnal revelation. It's a spiritual revelation, right? That's why everybody says he built his church on the different things. Well, Brother Bram said he built it on a spiritual revelation. And we'll read that quote here in just a minute. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. This revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So Peter had a little power given to him because he was going to be the spokesman when went on the day of Pentecost. But let's read this quote from Thirst, 1965. To know him is life, the person, Christ himself, not comparing. It's a revelation that God built his church upon. All right? And if we don't build upon that same church, the Bible says, Abel by faith. And faith is a divine revelation. It's not just an aha moment. It's something that sticks with you. It's something that's part of you. And it'll still be a part of you. Listen, you can't get a revelation and then lose it. Not a true one from God. You can't get a true revelation from God and it become a part of you and it spark something in your heart. You know, you might humanly forget about the revelation because you're human beings, but you know what? It's always there. And if somebody says something, it pops right back up. Right. Amen? Yeah. I know it's happened to you. It's happened to me. Right. But now if we get some thoughts in our mind and they don't ever come back, that was your thought. Right. Amen? Best that it don't come back. Best that you bury it in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. I've had a few of them, haven't you, Brother John? Yeah, uh-huh. Some of them, I don't want them no more. I don't even want to write them down, because I don't want to remember them no more. The revelations I thought I had, all of us, all of y'all that went through the denominations and swore on this and swore on that and swore on Father, Son, Holy Ghost and swore on the baptism and swore on that, yeah. That wasn't your revelation. Not from God, it wasn't. And if we don't build upon that same church, the Bible said, Abel by faith, and faith is a divine revelation. See, faith is a divine revelation. Look, this whole thing is built upon the revelation then. And unless this is revealed to you, Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed it to babes such as will learn. Now, see, now the whole thing, look, is built there. You've got to know the person.
Yes, right.
Not an idea. Not something wrote down on a piece of paper, but a divine revelation of the person. Now, who is that person? The Son of Man. You got to know that Jesus Christ in flesh died for you and that he released that Son of God and it came inside of you called the Holy Ghost. Everybody got that? Okay. That's the way you got to see it. It's like Bob said today. If you don't go through justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost, I don't see how you can get the Holy Ghost. I don't, because it's required. Amen? All right, let's look at the next one. What is a vision? 1956. This was in Spindale, North Carolina. That's up there where Brother Joe Green lives. He was probably, Brother Henry Green, when his daddy was probably sitting in this meeting in 1956. I guarantee he was. You see, the Bible said, the prophet said, there'll be a day that will not be neither light nor dark, but in the evening it shall be light. Now I want you to watch this. Now remember this afternoon, we're going to talk about a different way. The Son of Man is going to be revealed in a different way. All right? Listen. Now watch this though. Now when the Holy Spirit first fell on the church, Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, upper room, Acts 2:38, it was in the eastern people in Jerusalem. That's where the Holy Ghost fell. And great signs and wonders were done by the church in the early Pentecostal age of the early church. Then the next round of apostles, then come in the Catholic church. Then 1,500 years, then the Lutheran. And then from then on down, it's been a day. Now roll it on up a little bit, please, so everybody can see. And then from then on down, it's been a day where the light went out. And it's been a daylight enough that you could see that Jesus was the Son of God. Not Son of Man. Jesus was the Son of God. You should repent. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? Son of God. Alright? You should repent. But the real bright light of the Holy Ghost has never shined through these ages. Now see, if you don't balance that right, it'll be like the group that says, well, nobody got had the Holy Ghost until the end time. Well, that's not true. That's not true. They all had the same Holy Ghost. It was promised in Paul's age all the way up to now. But they only got a portion of it. Almost went out, he said, but the real bright light of the Holy Ghost has never shined through these ages. Certainly the Bible said it wouldn't. Why? Because these prophets says what? In the evening time, it shall be light. Gross darkness will be upon the earth. And all these different prophecies in the Old Testament. Let's don't ever do away with the Old Testament. As the prophet said it wouldn't, just as sure as he said they couldn't believe because Isaiah said, there hasn't been light because the prophet said. There, look, scroll that all the way up. Let's read that. Look, there's been enough light to know that you ought to do right and wrong. That's the Holy Ghost. That's your spiritual rudder. Amen? Right. There's been enough light to know that you believed on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, accept Him as personal Savior, put your name on the church book, and live the good life. But as far as signs and wonders in the direct rays of the sun shining, it hasn't been since Pentecost. In the revealing of who? The Son of Man. That's the Son of God revelation right there. When Jesus stood and said, Peter, this is what I'll build my church on. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's what He built His church on. Believe on the resurrection. Believe the Lord Jesus came up. Enough light to know that you believed on the resurrection. You ought to do right and wrong and all these other things up there. That's the Son of God revelation through the church ages. Got them in the body. Gave them a little bit of maybe some of these virtues, but not a lot. Brother Branham, you remember in the, what was it, in the dark ages? He said for them just to say they were Christians, they got killed. He said just enough of the Holy Ghost to get them in the body, because what happened was a lot of the soldiers received the Holy Ghost too, I believe. When they saw the believers walking into that lion's den and just praising God and worshiping the Lord, and those soldiers threw down, well, they might not have known nothing, but they believed in what those people believed in. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That is a revelation. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him, what? Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There's your Son of God revelation. There's enough light to know that you ought to do right and wrong. I kind of like that. That kind of sets the stage. But remember, it's the same Holy Ghost. It's just the difference of the word, not the different word. I was thinking, Brother Sampson Shetty sent me a message this morning. They are just now translating the Church Age book in one of their languages in India. Just now. What we've had for 40 years or longer, 50 years. What we cherish and read and listen. I've got about 5 copies of them. I like my Church Age book. They're just now getting them. Now, whose fault is that? I sat back there and I said, it's our fault. It's our fault they didn't get those. I mean, translations have been forever, and they're just now getting translation of the Church Age book. It's unbelievable. But Brother Brown said, we'll give an account if we don't get this message out to the people. You and I will give an account because we didn't go get the message out to the community and instead of going across the world. All right. So there's been enough light. So let's go to this question. Son of God is who? Pull it up, please. Because I asked them the same question like Brother Dale asked years and years ago. It's when you say Son of God. I asked them in Kentucky. I said, when you say Son of God, you put that title out. Because Jesus said, who is this Son of Man? Who do you say I the Son of Man am? So he put that title out. But he also, there was many that said Son of God. You think, well, that was Jesus. No, that wasn't Jesus first. The Son of God was the Creator, the one that stood before the foundation of the world, that went out of God. As I was trying to, you have to get a revelation to understand that how God can move Himself over and still be this person here, not do away with this one right here. Amen. Not do away with the Almighty, the great one that covers all space, time, and eternity. But listen, as I was telling them in Kentucky, God didn't write the Bible so He could explain to Himself who He was. He wrote the Bible to explain Himself to me and you. And He had to write it so that somebody would catch it, or He'd be an awful father. He'd be an awful person to write something so mysterious that nobody can get it. Right. He had to write it to where we could understand what it was. Right. Yeah. So first was God, Jehovah. And out of Him, let's just picture now a little drama. I think I may have this quote again. Remember where Brother Brown said the first creation was God himself? Now, boy, you're talking about some furrows in the brain of those theologians. They were probably going, God created himself. Well, I'm telling you, that's what the prophet said. The first creation was God himself. What did you say? We got to go back to creation. Listen, a car has always been in this earth. A computer, these benches, everything you see is minerals in this earth and was here at the flood. Car was here the whole time. It just took the intelligence of a man to form or create, put the pieces together. That's what God's doing. He's putting the pieces together because you know what? Go way back before the wheel. Go back and say car. And they go, what? Like Naaman, chariots jostling in the streets. He saw cars, but he didn't know what to call them. In other words, he hadn't developed, but there was a car in his mind. He was seeing a vision of a car. Chariots jostling in the streets, bumping into each other. That's me and you going down the interstate, right? But he didn't know what to say or how to say it. So, listen, it's kind of like me and you. We don't know how to understand God. How can you understand something that's eternal? Tell me how. Okay, go back 10 billion, 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 billion years. You ain't even got started. Go 10 billion, 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 billion years that way. You ain't out of end. So how are me and you in our finite, we have a beginning and an end here on earth. How are we going to understand this guy? He's going to condescend or lower himself and bring you a revelation. And then that's the first creation was God himself. Because I can't understand how a man can just be hanging out in the middle of nothing. That's what he was doing. He was standing somewhere. And he said, let there be. And boom. I was thinking yesterday, I was watching a video about trees. They were like the Amazon has got, billions of trees. You know how many trees is in this world? I'm talking about in the world. God made every one of them. God put the seed in the ground to make every one of them. And it didn't bother him one bit. He didn't have to get a calculator out. So how are you going to understand that man? You can't. You can't understand how he was standing out in nothing. A halo of light. A little drama. Let's see coming out of space where there's nothing. Let's make it a little white light, like a mystic light. Now remember, God never was a light. He was a human or we would have been born a light. Right? I'm going to read Genesis 1:26. We were born in the image of God, made in his image. Okay? So we were made in the image of a man. But as I've always said, if you and me would have been standing, if we would have had Moses as a buddy, and we had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, take me and put me back in Moses walking up through there, and he's walking, he's looking, he sees a bush that's burning, and it's not being consumed. And he hears a voice come out of the bush. Now see, I'd know who it was. You'd know who it was. You'd know that was Jesus Christ standing in that. In Revelation, Moses' revelation was, God's up here. God's a spirit. Great Jehovah God. I've heard him before, maybe in his life, but now I see him in this bush. Well, see, mine and your revelation, I'd believe I could see Jesus standing there as a person. Because I've got the person inside of me. Well, see, that's the same way with God. He's trying to reveal himself, and look, this is the only way he can reveal himself that you and me can understand it. Okay? So let's see coming out of space where there's nothing. Make a little white light, like a halo. That was the Logos that went out of God in the beginning. That was the Son of God, the Creator, that came out of the bosom of the Father. That was what was in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was God. And then out of God came the Logos, a part of God, that went out of God. In other words, God stepped over so that you can understand a little bit more right here. Then he stepped over a little bit more so you can understand him a little more right here. He condescended down, and then all of a sudden, for us to really be able to understand God, he was born like me and you. A baby, I mean, not through sex. You understand what I mean? Virgin born, but still that baby had to come out. A baby had to be born, and that baby had to grow up. That baby had to suffer. He learned by the things he suffered, all right? And being made perfect, he became the author of salvation. All right? So that part of God that went out of God. Now let's read Genesis 1:26. So God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every cattle and all the earth and every creeping thing that was upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created in him. Male and female created he them. So he had a male and female. He put both in Genesis 2:7. Then he separated Genesis 1:26 over in another form called Eve. Everybody with me? When Adam was first formed, he was male and female. Eve was literally a part of Adam. And then what? God took the rib. He didn't have to take a rib, but he took a rib. He took a piece of Adam and formed another body. And then he separated that spirit that was both male and female and put this one. Brother Branham said the feminine spirit went into Eve, and then he kept the masculine spirit. That's why God said, let us make man. The image of God created him, male and female created he them. So then he put them in flesh, human flesh, and he knew they were going to fall, but he had to put them in human flesh. He had to, because he's a creator. He did all that creating coming up, polywog, frog, cow, horse, monkey, beast. Don't forget him. God created him. In creative evolution, and then man. Amen? Everybody okay with that? That's what Brother Brown said. He said, we're just animal flesh. Now, we can't procreate with the animal, but we are animal flesh. We're the flesh of animal. All right? We're just a higher form of an animal because we have a soul. That's that Genesis 1:26 man comes into Adam and makes him a living soul. All right? So now, let's fast forward through this. Genesis 3:15, that's when he talks about putting enmity. We already read that. Genesis 3:22. He had to drive them out of the Garden of Eden. He had to separate from them because he couldn't talk to them anymore the way they were. The sinful condition they were in, he couldn't talk to them anymore. All right? So he drove them out, and he placed the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way. But now look, what is a sword? A sword is the word. He put a word there to keep them to get back in. I don't think it would be, you know, nope, Adam, I got you. Nope, you can't do that. No, it was a word. He told him. He said, you can't get back in. You can't get back in there. You're done. You're out. You're out to keep the way of the tree of life, because what's going to happen now? Brother Brown said, now that same sword or those same angels run you to the tree of life. Well, what's running you to the tree of life? An angel? No, the Word. The Word's what's driving us back to our homeland. The Word is what's driving us to do the things that we do if you're Christian. Amen? And Eve should have said, like I said before, be it unto me according to thy word before that. But it didn't happen. She took the lie of the devil. So now Genesis 6 verse 5. I got to catch up here a little bit. Read some of this from last time. God saw the wickedness of man. Now, this is before the flood. It repented that he made them. And the Lord said, I'm going to destroy man that I've created from the face of the earth, both male, both man and beast, and everything. But remember, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen? He would destroy this earth if he didn't find grace in the earth today and call the bride of Jesus Christ. Because that's the only thing that's holding up this wrath. Amen? Is me and you. Okay? So now let's go to Luke 17:26, because it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. Now remember, we were talking about that. It says days of the Son of Man. All right? Now watch. They did eat, drink, married wives, given in marriage until the day Noah entered in the ark. And then the flood came and destroyed them all. All right, now let's fast forward after the flood to Genesis 18:1. And the Lord appeared to who? Abraham. The Lord appeared to Abraham in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent. Abraham. Now this is Abraham, not Abram. He didn't meet him as Abram, but this is Abraham. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground and said, "My Lord." All right. He had met this guy before, so he knew who it was. And he said, "My Lord." And we know the meaning of that is Adonai, and which means of men, or it's a spoken word spoken in place of Yahweh in Jewish display of reverence. So he knew who he was. Brother Branham said he knew that was Elohim. He knew that he, and look, he didn't even acknowledge the two that was beside him. That's why I'm telling you, there's going to be a separation time to where Abraham focused on that one man.
Yeah, right.
The son of man. All right. He was focusing on him. The other two, we know that they went on to Sodom, but Abraham never even acknowledged who they were. Because they were not to him. They were to a different generation, or they were to a different set of people. And as they went to the world as Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, and I know the Bible says, and Brother Branham says many times, that they went down to blind the eyes of the Sodomites, or blind the eyes of the world. But listen, there was people saved during that time. Because Lot came out and his two daughters came out. So they was people saved. They didn't just go in there and blind them and smite them blind and they all went to hell. No, I believe under their ministry there was people that were saved.
Amen.
They knew right from wrong. They knew Jesus Christ died on the cross and he resurrected and came back into their heart. Son of God revelation.
Amen.
Because what stayed with Abraham though? Son of man stayed with Abraham.
Amen.
The two witnesses separated and took a message different from this message. Because this message was to save a group of people out of a city. A Sodom condition. This one stayed for a body change. This one stayed, these two left. There was no body change with these two. It was destruction. The whole world was destroyed, or those two cities were destroyed. And Abraham stayed back, or Melchizedek, which would be, you know, Jesus Christ. The theophany. Everybody got that? He stayed back and he said, "Abraham, I'm going to visit you in a time of life. I'm going to give you this. You're going to have a child by Sarah." He told him everything he needed. Amen. Then I was listening the other day. It was right after he preached marriage and divorce. Who is this Melchizedek? Brother Branham was standing and he had to divide the, he was preaching this way to the auditorium, but he must have been standing in the middle of the basketball court with the basketball goals on each end, and they split it with a curtain, and they split it where people would sit all the way up here. He said, because there's an audience on my left and an audience to my right. Well, remember, at the end of the service, he turns his back. And he said, and in other words, he's speaking. He said, and the Lord told Sarah the secrets of her heart in the tent behind her. And he told the guy to stand up. He said, "I can see a guy." He said, "You stand up." Something about his daughter was sick. Well, what he was doing, he was showing the sign of the Son of Man.
Right.
He was showing us the same thing that, you know, that, but see, you gotta keep it separate. That wasn't Jesus Christ standing there, William Branham.
Right.
It was Jesus Christ using William Branham.
Right.
Using that trumpet to let us know, because remember, if the Son of Man's prophetic, then it's the Word. What's the Old Testament? It's prophecy, written in Word. But there's a revelation to that that we've got to catch. Amen? So let's read Genesis 18, verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it. Now remember, there's no record of him going down there. He sends his two witnesses. He sends his two minor prophets. That's okay. Billy Graham and Oral Roberts, Brother Graham said. And I will know. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But look, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham was not going to let that man out of his sight. He knew there was something coming from that man. Because that man had just told him that he's going to have a baby. And he told what Sarah said in the tent. She giggled in her heart. It's kind of strange that Abraham got on the ground and laughed at God, and God didn't do anything to him. But Sarah giggled in her heart, and Brother Brown said God would have killed her if it hadn't been for Abraham. Yeah, and then you take another prophet called Abraham, the same guy, send him down to wherever that was, and the Egyptian was going to marry her, marry his wife. And the Holy Ghost gives him a vision and says, no, you can't, you don't need to do that. Said, and also, by the way, you need to go get Abraham, the one that lied to you, that made this situation the way it is. He gave his wife away. You need to go call him to come pray for you. That he'll restore the womb of the, remember he closed all the wombs up. They never had, would never have a child after that. Kind of interesting how much he thought of Abraham. And that's kind of like me and you. That's why the faith of Abraham, if we took Abraham and took him from Genesis 14 to Genesis about 20, how he's the father of our faith, sometimes you just don't know it. He laughs at God, gives his wife away. He thinks he hears the right thing and takes Hagar, listens to his wife. But you got to look at the revelation. That he was strong in faith. You know why? Because God said he was going to have it right here. Didn't matter about the journey. He was looking at the promise. He was looking right here. Got the birdie in the boot eye and said, I don't know how in the world I'm going to have that baby, but this man said I was going to have it, so that's it. That settles it. And then when he did like we did, he kind of tries to jump in there and mess everything up. All right? So now let's go to Genesis 19. And there came two angels to Sodom, and Lot sat in the gate. We see what happened. Watch his revelation. Verse 2 says, behold now my lords. He sees both of them. All right? He doesn't have a real revelation. And we know what happened. But now let's go to Luke 17, verse 28. Because likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, just like Noah. But now remember, in Noah it says, in the days of the Son of Man. Now watch what it says here. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. That's why Brother Brown goes to Luke 17, 28 to 30. He says, that's the promise of the Son of Man being revealed. And we'll get to that in just a minute with a quote that we got here. And we'll read it real quick and then we'll be done. So now Moses comes on the scene. And I'm going to read something this afternoon about Moses, and we'll just save it for later. And then remember what happened to Joshua, Joshua 5, verse 13. Now, what happens in Joshua 5, verse 13? I was thinking about it the other day. Do you know that? Yeah, going up to Joshua. That's good right there. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. He was a threat. Kids, young adults, God is not some 80-year-old person. 90-year-old person. Sorry about y'all that are 80 or 90. Sorry. I'm not even going to look over that way. God's not some 61-year-old person either. Because he was so formidable that Joshua pulled his sword. He was so in good shape. He was so young. He was a threat to Joshua. Because Joshua, without a revelation at the moment, went unto him and said, are you for us? Or are you against us? And God said, nay. Nay, I'm not, no. You don't understand. You're fixing to, but you don't understand at the moment. Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy feet. I'll bet you, well, I won't say bet, I'll guarantee you Moses told Joshua the story about the burning bush. I'll promise you Moses, because remember, he schooled Joshua in all of his life. Trained him up to do everything, right? I'll guarantee you, he said, when I was walking by that bush, he said, when God gave me this commission, he told me to take my shoes off, that I was standing on holy ground. And when that happened right there, Joshua said, my Lord. He had to have. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. I'll promise you, Joshua was a different man after he met that man. He was a different guy. But see, that man was a formidable opponent. He was not somebody that was, like I've told you before, when June went to the Baptist church and backslid a little bit, and she got this little book that said, Experiencing God. And it looked like Rip Van Winkle. It was this old man, wasn't it, June? This big picture of experiencing God. And he has a staff in his hand, and he's bent over like this. He's looking at it. Little beard down about right here, long, long gray hair. Remember, in Daniel 9, Brother Brown said he always wondered about that. He said that was not his hair when he talks about the white wig one. He said that was a wig that he put on because the people in I think they still do it over in Britain. When they walk in that chamber, they pull the... It's a white wig. He was a white wigged one. God's never had gray hair. He's always been a young man. Amen? Why didn't Mary think it was the gardener when he was standing in the garden? He was the Lord Jesus changed back to a 20-year-old man. Where have you took him? But when he said Mary, she knew who he was. Amen? So let's read this number 4. And number 5, and then we'll close. Well, we'll get back to it this afternoon. So now look, the unveiling of God. You ought to read that book. Notice now, he came first as the prophet. They crucified him, his own crucified him. He came as the Son of Man. So the Son of Man is a prophet. Alright? Then after the Holy Spirit came, he was then the Son of God. God is a spirit. He was the Holy Spirit, Son of God. He lived through the church ages as Son of God. In other words, he was building his own body. Yes. He took his body up on high, set it on the right hand of the Father, stood there making intercession, because that's what, who was it? Stephen saw. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. Not standing on top of a right hand, but in authority and power. Amen. All right? And after the Holy Ghost came, he was then the Son of God. God is a spirit. He was the Holy Spirit, Son of God. He lived through the church ages as Son of God. Like I said before, just enough light to get him in the body of Christ. No seals, no Daniel 70 weeks, no major doctrines. Paul didn't know a thing about a seal, folks. He died in AD 56, and the seals didn't come out till AD 90 when John went over to Patmos. So he had already passed on, but he spoke about them the whole time. He just didn't know what to call them. All right? We know what to call them. We can read the mystery of iniquity. We can read those things and fit it in the seals because you know what? God sent us a prophet. Now in the millennium, he'll be Son of David sitting upon the throne of his father David. He is the Son of David. Now that's not now. Look, he is the Son of David, comma, he paused, he said now to catch his next thought. And remember, between the Son of God, now see, it was, he always said, Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. Everybody got that? But remember, between the Son of God and the Laodicean church age, they put him out. Listen, in Revelation 3, that's the Son of Man knocking, trying to get back in. That was a man standing there called Jesus Christ. That's the Son of Man. They had put that revelation out the door. Knock, knock, knock. In the Laodicean church age, they put him out. And in Luke, he said he would be revealed again as the Son of Man. Why did Brother Brown have to stand and he stood there in that Colosseum and he said, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of the Son of Man, in other words. Right? God had to die in human flesh. Everybody understand that? Well, they crucified him again and put him to an open shame. That's why a prophet had to indict him. That's why the Son of Man now has to be risen again from the dead. Dead denomination, dead works. All right, look. And he said he would be revealed again as Son of Man, the prophet. Listen. Brother Brown said the messenger of this whole church age was who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Christ came down in Revelations 10. Christ came down in sons over on in wherever the mountain it was over there in Arizona. Right? Yes. Brother Brown didn't come. Christ came. Yes. Brother Brown was already here. Brother Brown said, I was here when he was here. I was just there when the picture was took. What a humble man. Knowing that though he was preaching that message of the Son of Man. Fulfilling the rest of it. The scriptures tie perfectly together. Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. What was it? It's the same God all the time. Look, just changing his form. Just like I said before, in Morphe, he changed his form to Logos, to word, speech. He comes down to where we can understand him. He changed his form in Morphe. He just changed. It's a great drama. He is acting it out. A great drama. He's acting it out. All right, let's go to the next quote. Proving his word. Another good book. You ought to read it too. Oh, I did bring it. We'll talk about this a little bit this evening, a little more in depth. All right? Proving his word. After 1900 years, with the church ages past, where's he talking about? Us. He's right here. 2,000 years. The church ages were 2,000 years ago. A.D. 30 to 2021. Or somewhere around the time Brother Ram's talking here. Now watch, all things that he prophesied of Luther Wesley, we just went through and seen it drawn out. And the moon came down and drawed it out, and the Lord drawed it on the board here for us and showed it. Now that was when he was preaching the church ages. And come down himself and confirmed it to be right. After 1900 years, and we're at the end of the Laodicean church age. Now when does the messenger come? Come on people, the messenger comes at the end of the age. Not at the beginning. He comes at the end of the age to bring his message. All right? He promised, we're at the end of the Laodicean church age. He promised in Luke 17:30 that this same Son of Man, he promised it, would be revealed in the days like it was in Sodom upon the earth. Did he do it? Does it have to come to pass? It's impossible. In other words, it's impossible for it not to come to pass. Now remember, he came in three names, the Son of Man, a prophet. Everybody got that? All right. Stay with me just a minute. Y'all doing pretty good. The Son of God, Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost. Everybody got that? Son of Man was, we saw him as Hoffman painted him. Brother Brown said that was close. Close as what he saw. Standing on earth, in flesh. That was the Son of Man. And he prophesied. He was a prophet. And then when he left, they killed him and he left. He came back on the day of Pentecost, not with that same body again. No, he was getting ready to build a body. He was building a flesh body. Me and you. Amen? So we're going to get to that. That's going to be way over in the sermon where she is him. She's not a part of, she's not like him. The devil is like him. She is him. We can't lose if we're him. You cannot lose. There's no way. But our problem is we keep separating ourselves from him. Man has done it. Denominations. Well, what happened on the mountain? God said, bring these people right here. I'll talk to them. The people come to the mountain. They go, nope, don't want you to talk to us. You got to talk through this man right here called Moses. And Moses said, I can't talk. So God said, don't worry. You got a brother that can talk. You tell him, or I'll tell you, you tell him, and him tell the people. It's been that way ever since. So it revealed in the last days. Does it have to come to pass? Now remember, he come in three names. The Son of Man, a prophet. The Son of God, the Spirit. So now he's working as the Holy Ghost. His body is not on the earth. We're his body. Can't have two bodies at the same time. We're his body. So we're here. He's over in another dimension. Remember, Brother Brown said, I want to go see him. He said, you can't see him. He's in a higher dimension. In other words, he is now immortal. These people you're seeing, they're not immortal. They got a body sitting back here on the earth. Jesus' body connected with him, and he went and took it up in that seventh dimension. That's where we're going to meet him at. So now the son of David for the millennium. But look, but in between this conjunction, roll that up so we can all see it. All the way on up. Now, in between this conjunction, so it's son of man, son of God. Now, we know son of David is to who? The Jews. In the millennium, he just said millennium. For the millennium. Now, is a millennium to me and you? No. It's not to the bride. So what he's saying is, he's saying that in between this conjunction, now according to his own word, and the day when the Son of Man shall be revealed. Now watch. Reveal himself as what? Not Son of God. Will reveal himself in a different way. God different? No. It's just more light. It's just more revelation. He will reveal himself, though, in a different way. So listen, that's why it's so important. You stay with the Son of God revelation. Do you know, we make that quote. I'll read the rest of this in a minute. We make that, or say the quote, like on the on the questions and answers on the seals. He said, it's gone from you. It's not for you. Right? Do you know what he was talking about? He's telling them, you're under the Son of God revelation. You're good Christian people. You love God. You love the Lord. You know that Jesus resurrected. You know that he's in your heart. Listen, Brother Brown could discern. He knew them people had the Holy Ghost. He knew who did and who didn't. So he was saying, go on as you are. Stay right there. Don't wind yourself away from it. Why? Because he knew they wasn't going to get the revelation in a different way. Because what is a revelation of the Son of Man? The seals. And he had just got preached to number 6, and they were asking about pantyhose. Should you wear pajamas at night? He explained the Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism for them for the 100,000th time. Preaching the greatest message ever preached. Well, see, they were working under the Son of God revelation. They were working in that era that he said, okay, it's not for you. It's coming in a different way. And from 63 to 65, I believe that was the different way. You and I got to catch that different way, though, to take a body change. You can have the Son of God and not take a body change, but I don't believe you can have a full revelation of the Son of Man and miss the body change. Because he's the one that got changed. He knows how to do it. Will reveal himself in a different way. Now what does that make? Malachi 4. Exactly right. See, the Son of Man will reveal himself, not in the whole big denomination of things that we've had through the ages, but he would manifest himself as Son of Man again, to make manifest Malachi 4, and in that day I will send you Elijah the prophet. He shall turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the apostolic fathers, away from all this denominationalism, and come back to the original word again. Amen? Amen. Let me read this one real quick. They don't have this one, but watch this right here. Because listen, there's always three classes of people. And that's what we'll be covering from now on and through. Elijah and the meal offering, 1960. We're living in the shadows of the end time. There may not be a tomorrow night. I don't know. Lord, that's up to you. It's a prayer. He's praying. But while it is yet possible that some could enter in tonight, Father, I pray that you'll send the Holy Spirit. You said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. In the days of Sodom, they had three classes of people. The sinner, the lukewarm church member, and the elect. That was who was there. The sinner got destroyed. Right? Lot was the lukewarm church. And the elect was Abraham. That's why Brother Abraham said we have three classes of people in every congregation. Believer, mate believer, and unbeliever. Right? Sodomites, Lotites, and Abraham called out of the world. The Sodomites received two ministers with a great message. And Abraham's group received a sign. And the sign was a man with dust on his clothes. who knew Abraham, being a stranger, knew his wife Sarah, what her name was, and told Abraham with his back turned to the tent where Sarah was, why did she laugh? Oh God, may the church wake up and see. As Jesus said, as it was the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. That same God would appear. Now hold on a minute. We're going to read something here that's going to shock you. That same God would appear in flesh of his church. Can I read that one more time? Oh God, may the church wake up and see. As Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. That same God would appear in the flesh of his church. That's me and you. And would show the same sign. Grant it, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Musicians, come. He would appear in the flesh of his church. And it was, listen, it's not a church. It was his church. Amen. But I like that quote there where he said he would reveal it in a different way. Brother Wade, are you saying I need another, a different mindset? Yeah. Yeah, you do. I just read you what the quote said. If he's going to reveal it to you in a different way, then it's not the normal. Was Jesus normal? Not to the people around him. He wasn't normal. Now that doesn't make us crazy people not normal and we're not something different, okay? But Jesus was considered a wine bibber, a sinner, the chiefest of sinners. He hung around prostitutes and drunks all the time. His disciples, collectively, except maybe Matthew, because he was a tax collector, he had to know his numbers. They couldn't got together and told you their ABCs. Couldn't write their name, right? And that's what he used. And we're looking for this, and we're looking for this, and we're looking for this. He's in his church. He's not coming back as the Son of Man. He is here. The Son of Man. In his church. But he's in his word first. You gotta grab his word because that'll be in a different way. And our thought process has gotta be different. Move on up. The statue of a perfect man. Move on up into the seals and the different things that were required. Listen, it's a requirement. I didn't make it. God did. But you know what? To make a requirement, Brother Branham said he had to make a way. So who stops the way? Me and you. We stop the way to get there. Amen? So let's open that thing up. Like I said, first of the year, whatever you got inside of you, let it out. If it's wrong, you need to let it out. If it's God, I'd like to see it. Amen? I would. I'd like to see it. If it's God, I want to see it. If it's the devil, I'd like to see it. Because we know when he gets out, he's going to leave. Because we want him to be uncomfortable. Let's sing a song. If you have a need.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. I love this song.
I'm a child of the King.
So now I pray that you'd strain their back up, Lord, so that you show him that you are the one in control and not him, that you're the one that's controlling this body, Lord. And we pray that you'd give our sister wisdom and strength to take the day and the hour that we're living in, brother. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let him show it. Let him show it. Let him show it. This. Yes. Oh, Lord.
yes.
We need to start acting like it. Start acting like the child of a king.
His royal blood now flows in my veins. And I, who was wretched and blind, now can see. Praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the King. Oh yes, oh yes. I'm a child of the King.
What the king gets. You get what the king gets. I'm a child of the king. He came and died. The only king that I know that ever died to save the world. But he could do it because he could come back inside of us. Not anybody else can do that. Just the Lord Jesus could do that. But the Son of Man, we're going to get into him a lot more because there's a lot of little intricacies that we need to talk about for the Son of Man. In a different way. Now listen, you're not going to hear it no different what Brother Dale preached it. So don't think we're getting something that we found a new book or a new tape or we've talked to this new preacher. Nope. You're going to hear the same thing. But you know what? I'm praying that it'll be given in a light. In a light that will help you. And they'll give us revelation to get out of here. Because it will have to be revealed in a different way. You think about Brother Branham from that 1963 to 1965. He preached to people in a trailer and had 30 people in the trailer. And it was an old rundown trailer somewhere out in Arizona. 30 people, and he used to preach to 30,000. 30. And when he was coming back from Texas and he was going to Jeffersonville, he was going to preach on the Trail of the Serpent, and he said they'd be more than that going to be leaving him. So he would have literally stood alone by himself just like the Lord Jesus did. And that's the same way with you and I. Money, women, and popularity. I don't ever want to be popular. I want to be well known, but I don't ever want to be popular. Because popularity will go to your head. Amen? And the money and the well, money I'll never have. Women, I got one. That's enough. Amen? Amen. 42 years. What are you laughing so much for? Esther? Sister, bless your heart. You didn't laugh that much. And we had a good time yesterday at the yard sale. So it was fun. We appreciate all you sisters. Some of you sisters coming, so thank you for that. But God bless you. Love you with the love of the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you give us. We appreciate, Lord, the people that you give us to speak to. They're the salt of the earth. Lord, I pray that they become saltier. And that will draw people closer to you, Lord. Even by testimony and the worship and the different things that we do, Father, I pray that you'll anoint us this day forward to a higher level. That we'll know what we're talking about when we preach. That we know what we're talking about when we sing. We know what we talk about and who we're talking about when we worship you. Father, forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes, Lord. Being weak in the body, Lord, we know the things get on each one of us, and we pray that you would just continue to push those things out of the way, Lord, that we can see you, Father, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, just be with each one that's sick, that's not here in the building, the ones on the internet, Lord, that couldn't make it. We pray that you'd just bless them, Father. Just take care of each and every one of us until we come back, Lord, this afternoon in service for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.
I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.